TEN Files, the Ultimate Titans Podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome to another edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you for being here. Week one in the National Football League is in the books. We now get a chance to look back at week one and also start to preview week two. We will do so by checking in on the team, figuring out the very latest injuries, expectations, the highs and lows of week one. Then we'll go around the NFL. We'll do that with the NFL Network's Brian Billick. And then in overtime this week, speaking of the NFL Network, one of the newest faces there on the NFL Network, Mike Garofolo, will join me for overtime, a six-pack of questions. It all gets started right now on the NFL Files.
The Big Interview.
Let's talk some Titans, and let's do it from 7:30 a.m. Yahoo Sports in Memphis, covering the NFL, covering the Titans as well. J.C. Smith joins us, and you find him on Twitter at jcsmith926. J.C., let's start here. When you looked at the Titans game this weekend against Minnesota, let's start off with the positive. What were the high points for you as you watched that game?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on the podcast today. Well, first of all, it was a tale of two halves for the Titans there. First half, everything was awesome. Everything was great. Got to a 10-0 lead at the half there. And then second half, everything fell apart. Vikings scored 25 straight points, and their defense just took it up another notch there, causing the two turnovers there by Mariota that really sealed their fate, the 77-yard interception by Kendricks there, and then the 24-yard fumble recovery also by the Vikings. And it was the all defense from that point going forward for the Vikings, and the Titans could never recover. And Mariota, we all know the first game last year, his rookie season, how he had a perfect day, you know, four touchdowns, perfect passer rating last year. Yesterday, I think this is more of the true sense of Mariota going forward. You know, I think we're going to see a sophomore slump from the second year QB there, and I think he's going to struggle. And you know, basically the Titans have to figure out, you know, are they going to design the offense around Mariota and his skill set, or got DeMarco Murray? We all know what he's capable of the last couple of years. You know, when he's in Dallas, not so much last year in Philly, and you know, they've got to figure out which way they're going to go. Are they going to be a power run game with Murray, or more of a, you know, run option type attack with Mariota?
When you look at the running game, let's look at that for a minute. Obviously, you know, teams are going to struggle when you're averaging only 2.9 a carry for the running backs. Were you disappointed in terms of what you saw out of the running game, JC, just because of the inability to move it, or was that just more a function of that Vikings defense?
I think it was a mixture of both. I really do. You know, the Vikings, we all know how stout they are with their run defense. Those guys, you know, ranked top 10 in the league for the last couple of years as far as run defense is concerned. And I really think they had a scheme set up to really slow down what the Titans really wanted to do, and that was definitely get DeMarco Murray involved. And also, but at the same time, you know, the Titans have to use Mariota's skill set. You know, he's a great spread-out run option quarterback there. He can get around with his mobility, with his feet, and get yards as well. And I really think the Titans have to focus going forward. You know, pound the rock. You got two big backs, DeMarco Murray and also Derrick Henry, the rookie from Alabama there. DeMarco Murray held to 42 yards on 13 carries there. Did get two touchdown receptions, five receptions for 35 yards and two TDs there. You know, I think they have to figure out how they're going to use DeMarco Murray and really use what they have as, you know, at a great value right now for the Titans. You got a great offensive line. You got two great backs that you can really rely on, pound the rock, and really, you know, give DeMarco Murray more than 13 carries if you want to be successful this year.
You know, we talk about Murray. Let's look at the receivers. We know coming out of the summer with training camp and preseason that folks were talking about Tajae Sharpe, and clearly not only are fans looking at him and watching him, but, you know, Mariota was clearly 11 targets for Sharpe, seven catches, 76 yards. They expect some big things out of him, and clearly he and Mariota are on the same page.
Yeah, you know, the talk all preseason long, you know, when I had a chance to go up there to visit for training camp, you know, has been, you know, the rookie Tajae Sharpe and some of the things that he was doing during the preseason. And also, I picked the guy up on my fantasy team, so I'm very excited about that, his prospects going forward, you know, for this season. But you're right, you know, had 11 targets, the highest, no, targets amongst Titan receivers there from Mariota yesterday, the 7 receptions, like you said, for 76 yards there going forward. The guy, he just seems like a natural, you know, he has great poise, first-year receiver, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, runs great, crisp routes out there on the field as well. So, you know, the Titans are ecstatic and really expecting big things from the rookie Tajae Sharpe going forward.
When you look at this team, you know, I don't think anybody sat back and said that the Titans were going to win the division or anything like that. I think, you know, I've talked to a number of people over the course of the last few months that, you know, said, hey, 5-6 you know, 7 wins would be great because it shows the forward progress. Obviously, you don't want to start 0-1, but this is against a division-winning team, against the Vikings, that, you know, you held them in check at halftime. You know, as you said, 10-0, you talked about that before giving up 25 to them in the second half. What about the Tennessee defense? What about did you see that was positive or some negative out of that defense over the course of the game?
You know what the Titans, I think they suffer from as far as defense, especially over the last couple of years? Not enough playmakers. Not enough playmakers out there on the field for the Titans. Their defense is kind of like, you know, kind of like the Cowboys in a way. You know how the Cowboys defense, not enough guys that can really make plays out there, be playmakers and really turn the game around or make, you know, make changes out there as far as defense is concerned. You know, and I think the Titans really going forward as far as they need to find a way to produce turnovers, and that's going to be a struggle for them this year. They don't really have guys that you can really call on out there in the secondary with the linebacking core as well, guys that can really make plays and create turnovers to really make a difference in the ball game. So I think the Titans, like you were saying, as far as the wins are concerned this year, you know, I think, you know, if these guys can get to 8-8, 9-7, you know, in a tough AFC South division, you know, I think that has to be a win for the Titans going forward. But they got to find ways to win games at home. Over the last two seasons, they're only 1-7 up there at Nissan Field in Nashville. So they got to find ways to win games at home if they even want to have a chance to get to an 8-8 season this year.
But they can plug up the middle, you know, or at least we saw that. You know, the Vikings, anytime you can take Adrian Peterson, give him 19 carries but only get 31 yards, then the Titans' defense in terms of the front seven was definitely in control there at the line of scrimmage, or at least enough to where Minnesota could not lean on Adrian Peterson. And we know that that's their offense. That's what they want to be able to do. So, you know, we talk about bright spots, JC. I suppose that that's one of them, clearly, that they kept Adrian Peterson from rumbling down the field.
Absolutely. You know, going into the game, of course, your main focus is to stop, you know, the all-world, everything running back for the Vikings there. Adrian Peterson, a guy that had over 1,400 yards rushing last season. And, you know, that was definitely the game plan there, holding AP to only, 31 yards on 19 carries yesterday. And I think, you know, that's great as far as when you're playing against teams that are offensively challenged, as we know the Vikings are, especially with losing, you know, their quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. So you knew the Vikings' main game plan was to, you know, pound the rock with AP. But the Titans, I'm pretty sure they didn't foresee the mistakes made by Mariota there with the turnovers, and that's really how the Vikings won that game yesterday. So, like I said, going forward, you know, the Titans' decent defensive line at front seven is a good strength for the Titans, and they're going to stop teams that, you know, primarily like to run the ball. But when you face, you know, the Indianapolis Colts of the world, when you face the Texans, you know, teams that can definitely have offensive weapons that can hurt you, how will the Titans defense fare then? I think that's what everybody's kind of looking forward to see the rest of the season, how they fare against teams that really, really can spread the rock and spread the attack and really hurt you in so many different facets, as opposed to a one-dimensional team like the Vikings yesterday.
Well, one of those teams is going to be Detroit coming up this Sunday. That'll be the Week 2 opponent on the road at Detroit. You know, clearly they like to sling the ball around from a passing standpoint. We know they got a couple of good running backs in Theo Riddick and Ameer Abdullah. JC, when you watch the upcoming game for the Titans, what's the biggest thing you're going to be trying to look for them to change from this past weekend against Minnesota to this weekend against Detroit?
Playmakers. You know, you got to have playmakers, like you say, on the defensive side of the ball. We know Matt Stafford, a guy that is known to throw an interception or two. Can you force his hand and force him to make mistakes to, you know, give your defense a chance to, you know, stay in this game? And we saw what Detroit did against the Colts yesterday, a comeback win and a lot of points, you know, going back and forth. So I expect a shootout, when Detroit comes to town there. But, like I said, another thing, Mariota, he has to step up. He has to play much better than he did yesterday against the Vikings. 25-41, 271 yards there, and, of course, the turnovers, So they're expecting big things from Mariota again this year. Going to rely on him to make plays, but like I said, he has to keep in mind, you can't do those things. You can't throw bad turnovers. You can't throw bad interceptions, and that's what he did yesterday. That's what really cost him the game there.
Well, they got a challenging schedule coming up, but it all starts week two. They'll be on the road against Detroit. J.C. Smith from Sports Radio 730 AM in Memphis, covering the NFL, covering the Titans for us there on Twitter at J.C. Smith 926. J.C., appreciate the time. Thanks.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick. Stick around.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that each week with the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, and as he is each week, he's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got the SeatGeek app on your mobile device or that you're visiting SeatGeek.com. Make sure you, your family, your friends are always getting the best deal on tickets, and you do that with the SeatGeek app. Coach, let's start here with the Monday night game. A lot of people surprised not only for Jared Goff not to start, but not even active. I know I'm asking you to speculate, but why do you believe the number one overall pick is not out there for the Rams, given how inept their offense looked overall?
Well, you can only assume that Jeff Fisher doesn't think he's ready. Let's go back to Jeff's history. When they drafted Steve McNair back in the 90s, he didn't actually start until his third season. They carried him along, felt like they needed to nurture him. They had two losing seasons leading up to that, and then he finally found his way into the starting lineup. If Jared Goff is not better than Case Keenum, they got a real problem, because obviously they were betting on playing great defense, running the ball, which they didn't last night. Todd Gurley only had 47 yards in 17 carries. And Case Keenum, maybe you can play that formula where he was only 17-35, but he had two interceptions. If you're going to play that play great defense, run the ball formula, you got to run the ball and can't turn it over. So if they're not going to play a lot better than that, you got to put Jared Goff in just to get the experience.
Coach, is the Niners defense improved, or was this just a matter of the Rams being that bad?
Well, we're going to find out. We don't know, because the Rams offense was basically so inept. We're going to have to see how it pans out. It's likely they're a little bit better than we all thought they were going to be, but their roster, when you look at it, you have some question marks, notwithstanding even the offensive side. Obviously, what Chip Kelly's doing, they have a lot of confidence. They obviously look pretty good. But we're going to find out, particularly this week, when they're going to play the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to find out more about L.A. and the fact that they play the Seattle Seahawks. In terms of San Francisco 49ers, the next step for them, obviously, is to, can they indeed go on the road? And it's a tall task, because they're going across the country to the Carolina Panthers. Now you're going to see a legitimate run offense. You're going to see maybe the best quarterback or the best athlete in the game in Cam Newton, and a very, very good Carolina defense. So it's going to be a test for the 49ers. They go across the country and put that kind of performance together against Carolina, then we're all going to say, nope, we were all kind of wrong. This team's pretty good.
For some people, looking at the AFC, the Steelers were a bit of a sleeper pick for some experts, Coach. Did you see that out of them in their Monday night contest against Washington? Could they contend in the AFC?
Well, I had Pittsburgh down as my Super Bowl team. I think they could be, if they can stay healthy. And that's the key. And we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, obviously Antonio Brown. That offensive line, which is healthy and looks spectacular. Le'Veon Bell's not there, but D'Angelo Williams, let's remember last year he cranked off 127 yards in the opener as well. So D'Angelo Williams is a good, physical, Pittsburgh Steeler type of runner that they got to love doing, seeing what he's doing for them. And defensively, I think they're improved. They're healthy, although you see Ryan Shazier may be hurt. I go back to the injury situation. Of course, that's true of any team. But they were obviously spectacular. Washington's suspect on defense. but I still feel like Pittsburgh is the team to beat in the AFC. They too, okay? Now you got to follow up with it because you've got a Cincinnati team coming into town that looked pretty good, and it's open.
When we look at the AFC, Coach, and you know this as well as anyone, you can't bet against Bill Belichick. There were those that said if the Patriots could go through their first four games without Tom Brady and be 2-2, that everybody would be happy. But based on how they performed against Arizona, is it out of the realm of possibilities that they might be 3-1 or even 4-0 by the time Brady comes back?
Yeah, and I was one of them on our show Game Day First for the NFL Network. We were talking about it, and I believe all of us picked Arizona to win, and to a man, we said, but we're nervous about it, because anytime you pick against the Patriots and Belichick, and particularly a Brady-less Belichick, you have a little bit of confidence. They come back and bite you every time. So, no, this bodes well for them. For them, they don't look at it that way, and he's the master at one game at a time. They got Miami coming to town, so it's a divisional game, which is important for them. But I'd be surprised if anybody picks the Patriots to lose to Miami at home.
Speaking of Miami, they went on the road in really just a defensive slugfest there against Seattle. What did you see out of the Dolphins? And also, Coach, what did you see out of Seattle?
Well, and that I was impressed with that. I mean, that's a tough place to go. We talked last week about the value I put on the ability to go on the road and win, particularly in an opener, and particularly when you're talking about Miami going to Seattle. They'd been better off going to London. It would be an easier trip for them. That's a tough slog. The defense was impressive. I think it was an example of Russell Wilson this year. I think it's going to have to be finally a 500-plus throw quarterback. He's been under that his first few years because they haven't had to do more than that. Play great defense, run the ball. Not that they're not going to continue to play great defense. They ran the ball okay, but Russell Wilson threw the ball 43 times. And I think we're going to see more of that this year because they're going to need for him to throw the ball in order to get the win.
We know it was against the Cleveland Browns, but at the same time, Carson Wentz came out, a guy that just a few weeks ago, Coach, wasn't even expected to start because Sam Bradford was there, and he wound up with 278 yards, a couple of touchdowns. What did you think of the rookie's performance?
Yeah, very impressive. I mean, particularly for rookie, you just want to see, are they overwhelmed? Do they look like they can function? And both he and Dak Prescott played very, very well. It was interesting to watch them. It was the same game plan. Both opened up with a lot of boots and outside the pocket, to settle them down, make it an easy read, and then eventually evolved where they had to throw more from the pocket. Now, and it's good for their development. I don't know that you want a rookie throwing the ball 37 times a game like Wentz did, or 45 times like Dak Prescott. But from a development standpoint, because that puts them on a 600-throw season, which would be great for their development as a quarterback, but in terms of winning games and that profile, that would be a steep curve for these rookies. But I tell you what, they looked like they were up to it. Where you saw it was down on third down. Both struggled a little bit in third down in those critical areas. Although Carson Wentz in the red zone looked pretty good. You had to be pleased, even though, of course, Dallas lost. You had to be pleased, both teams, with the starts of their rookies, Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz.
Kansas City Chiefs pull off the biggest comeback for them in 56 years with their franchise. Is this a legit AFC West contender? I would assume so, based on what we've seen out of Andy Reid and Alex Smith managing the game.
Oh, absolutely. And it was who didn't play for them that's significant, that they all but at home could come back that way. That'll give them a lot of confidence. Now, obviously, Denver looks to be very solid. Huge win by the Oakland Raiders in New Orleans. They're going to be a factor as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is going to be a very tight division, but certainly that bodes well for Kansas City, if nothing else, give them the confidence to know, yeah, even without Jamal Charles and some of the other players we didn't have there, we're a pretty good football team.
You just brought up the Raiders, and it's been an interesting conversation in looking at Oakland, because there were those that have criticized their opening game, saying, well, wait, this was supposed to be a team that was extremely strong on defense, and here they gave up 34 points. But the counter to that, Coach, is, well, just about everybody gives up at least 30 points facing Drew Brees.
Yeah, if you're going to dismiss anybody, everybody that gives up a lot of points and a lot of yards, Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints, at home in that dome, you can check off pretty much the entire league. This guy's pretty good. I was very impressed with Oakland's ability to go on the road in one of the toughest places to play of all football, particularly in the opener, and to do it in the way they did, to come back the way they did, to go for it on two-point conversion twice and to get it, that bodes very well for that team, a resiliency on that team. And, yeah, certainly some things, the big plays they're going to have to cut down on. I know that was disappointing for Ken Norton Jr. And his defense, but they're not the Lone Ranger in that regard when it comes to New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints defense continues. They're going to have a tough time this year because Drew Brees and Sean Payton know once again they got to score a minimum of 30 points a game or they got no chance.
Takes a lot of guts to do what Coach Jack Del Rio did at the end of the game. Coach, do you think you could have done the same thing if you were coaching?
Well, I've told in a lot of interviews that I'm doing talk about, you typically, particularly going on the road, you'll get with the staff and say, okay, guys, what's our mentality going to be at the end of the game? We've got to go for two. I mean, you put that down specifically at what do you guys think? It's different at home than it is possibly on the road. And go through the mindset of Jack Del Rio. Okay, I'm going to take a 50-50 chance of getting a two-point play, or what are my odds if I go into overtime in New Orleans on the road that late in the game against that crowd, and, oh, by the way, against a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees? I kind of like my odds with the two-point play rather than putting it in Drew Brees' hands.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. We say it every week. If you spend 10, 15 minutes with the coach, you're a smarter football fan. He's brought to us every week here on the NFL Files podcast by SeatGeek. Make sure you've downloaded the SeatGeek app or visited SeatGeek.com. It's a great way for you to make sure if you're getting tickets to a sporting event or a concert that you're getting the absolute best deal for you and your friends. That's the SeatGeek app. Coach, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Overtime.
For Overtime on the NFL Files, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. First of all, Mike, congratulations on making the jump to NFL Network. We've got a six-pack of questions for you, rapid-fire style. Let's start here. After seeing what happened with Jack Del Rio, are we going to see more coaches go for two?
I don't think so. I think a lot of them are still conservative by nature, and Jack Del Rio is a more forward-thinking coach and has been for a while, so it doesn't shock me that he's the guy, and you know, there is an old adage, you play for the win on the road, you play for the tie at home, so maybe the situation, bared out for that one, and the momentum that they had at the time. I just don't see that being something that all of a sudden coaches are going to start doing, because the minute they fail, they're going to be called upon as bozos.
All right, question number two in the six-pack. For you, the biggest surprise of week one?
Probably the Detroit Lions. I went up there and I heard all that positive talk about their offense and how they wouldn't miss Calvin Johnson, and everything I heard was that this offense actually, not that they'd be better off without Calvin Johnson, but for this offense, the way that they want to spread the ball around, nothing really runs through one person, so that they'd be able to kind of move that ball around. And you hear that and you go, yeah, but you're going to be without Calvin Johnson, so how is that possible? Well, you saw on display. Now, that's not the best defense they're going to face all year. Maybe one of the worst, as a matter of fact. So they're going to have to continue to prove that. But to me, that was a surprise they were able to pull that one off.
All right, Mike, question number three. Does Larry Fitzgerald actually have a secret fountain of youth? And if so, how do you and I get some of it?
He is amazing. And it's all about how he takes care of his body and his dedication to the game. And it is up there with some of the greats of all time. And I don't know if this is going to be his last season. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what kind of success the Cardinals have and whether he thinks this team could have more success a year from now. I don't think that decision's been made yet. I think it's a possibility, but at the very least, I think he could absolutely continue to play at a high level for beyond this season.
It's Overtime on the NFL Files. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network with me. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, question number four, true or false? The Patriots will go 4-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll go true. Yeah, just because they've got three more home games here, and then they catch Houston on a short week on the Thursday night game at home. So, I think it's a possibility, and sure, I'll ride with my somewhat similar namesake, Jimmy.
There you go. All right, question number five for you. Based on what you saw in week one, who wins the NFC East?
I'm still going Redskins, just because I didn't expect anybody to run away with it. I still don't. I think that's a terrific team that they played. I'm not going to overreact to that one. I do think that there are holes on that roster. I think there's things that they need to patch up, but I'm not going to overreact to that one. There's going to be the opposite of overreaction Monday, even though it's beyond Monday, but it's going to be the opposite of that, because I still believe that they're going to be the team that winds up coming out on top.
Mike Garofolo with me. Last question for you in our six-pack. If you had the choice, and obviously the athletic ability as well, Mike, if you had the choice, would you rather catch a touchdown from your favorite quarterback or sack your most hated rival quarterback?
Probably the TD. Just because, you know, those guys, the skill position guys get all the glory, and then you get to do, well, I guess you can do a dance after the sack, but the end zone dances to me are always, there's more options down there amongst the fans and the goalposts and all that stuff. I'd even draw a penalty for using something as a prop.
All right, bonus answer to this one, Mike. Who would that quarterback be for you? Who's your favorite? Who would you want to be on the receiving end of?
My favorite of all time? I grew up watching Randall Cunningham, so that would have to be my guy.
There you go. Mike Garofolo with us on Overtime on the NFL Files. Make sure you watch him now that he's on NFL Network. Again, congratulations, and follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Nate.
Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, appreciate his time. As I mentioned, just made the jump from Fox to NFL Network, and prior to that, he had been with USA Today. So definitely moving up the ladder when it comes to covering football. Appreciate your time joining me this week on this edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week right here.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.